I know you said there was no spices, but I couldn't. It was just a lot for me, But may God bless you. I would like to read a few places in the Bible just for a background. The first place I would like to read in is in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12. And then we'll go to the New Testament. 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 13. If you have found the place, I will read. This was Samuel speaking to the children of Israel. And he says, "Now therefore the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you." I'm sure you are all very familiar with that story when the children of Israel desired to have a king over them. And Samuel protested against them, because the Lord had told him to protest, yet they said, "We want a king anyhow." And so he came back to them and said, "Behold, the king whom you have chosen." Is that the verse? Verse 13. I was only going to read verse 13. Thank you. "Whom you have desired." And that's a great word there that we want to look at, desired. And then I want to read again Mark 11, verse 24. Mark 11, verse 24. Jesus speaking. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." So there's something very special there. What things soever you desire, believe when you pray that you receive them, and you shall have them. Let's jump again to the book of Luke, and then we will pray after that. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, just verse 15. "And he said unto them," Jesus speaking to the disciples, "with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." In other translations, it says, "With great desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the opportunity that we could come to your house tonight. Lord God, Father, may you bless these, your people that have desired to be here tonight, Lord. And I pray, even as we have opened the scriptures and read, Lord, in three places where desire is mentioned, I pray that you help us tonight, Father, that we may enter into the spirit of the word, that you may help us, Father, to realize what it is that you are saying to us, Father. For you said, Lord, whatsoever things that we desire, if we pray and believe, we will have them, Lord. It means so much to us, Father. And being a prayer night tonight, Lord, we pray, Father, that you would help us, Father, to realize what it is you were saying unto us. And that, Father, we may desire the things that you have in store for us, Father. We commit the preaching of thy word into your hands. Be with me, O God, and help me tonight. Bless your people. Anoint, Lord, Father, thy people, the hearing of the word, that it may achieve that which you have sent it for. We commit this night into thine hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, saints. So, chapter 22 of Luke, where we just read Jesus speaking of, "With the desire I have desired to eat." This was a very, very difficult day if you think what was happening there. Because Jesus had come to realization that my time on earth has now come to an end. The hour that he was born for had now come, where he was going to be tried and he was going to be put on a cross and he was going to die for your sins and my sins and then resurrect again. But he had this world, people that he had been walking with in the world, the disciples. And they had spent many years together, 3.5. And he knew, I'm going to leave these people. So in his heart, he began to have a desire for them. He desired to have the Last Supper, that's what they call it. And he began to move things in a way that they were going to have the Last Supper. And he said to them, go to this place. If you see this man, follow him. Tell him where will we prepare the supper for the Lord, and he will show you a room prepared. All these preparations were put in place because Jesus had a desire. There was something in his heart that he wanted it to happen. And when they sat and then he could see that vision fulfilled, people sitting at the table eating this supper with him, they didn't know it was the Last Supper, but he knew. And he looked at them and he told them, he said, with a desire, I desired to eat this Passover with you. So there's something very strong about a desire. If we go into the dictionary to look to see, what is a desire? Because you can say, I want something. But when you desire to have something, many times you don't even say until you have attained it. Because it's a strong force inside the soul of a person. Desire, the dictionary says, is a strong feeling, a craving, a longing, a deep yearning that impels one to the attainment or possession of something. So it actually is a force that impels you to get something that you want, because it's a desire that is inside of you. It's a force that there's nothing that can quench it until the thing that is the object of your desire is what you have obtained. So if you desire to have something and someone else comes and gives you something else, well, yeah, you could have it, but it just won't quench the desire. You know, I remember when my wife was pregnant, I think I've said this many times, but it was very real to me because it happened to us the first time. And she loves chicken wings, you know, the ones from KFC, the hot ones. And we were living in Rush. And I come from work and we're sitting in the house and she says, I want chicken wings today. I want to have them. She had a deep desire for them that we drove all the way from Rush through Skerries, through Balbriggan, all the way to Drogheda to buy chicken wings. And we ordered what we wanted. We didn't even look to see what they put inside. We just took it into the car. We drove all the way back again to Rush, went into our apartment, sat and opened, and there was no chicken wings. But there were other chicken and other things there, just the same chicken. Yet it wasn't enough to quench the desire that she had. We didn't even discuss. It was late in the night at that time. And we just, all of us, we just got up in unison and said, let's go back. That's how strong the desire was. There was nothing that was going to be in our way to stop us as long as we had the resources to fulfill that desire. So desire, the prophet says, God creates a desire in your soul. He has to create the desire. And when God saves a man from a life of sin, when you are born, shaped in iniquity, came to the world speaking lies with a fallen nature, you have desires of the things of this world. You desire to be a member of some football club, and you want some blanket that says, you never walk alone, Manchester, Red Devils, and things like that. You have such a desire, and you do what you can to get those things. You know? But when God saves you from a life of sin, the prophet says he takes the desire of the things of the world away from you and he gives you a new desire. Amen. So it's God who creates a desire in the life of a person. And when you come to a place where you are desiring something, it's not natural for you to desire to come to church. That's not a natural desire for people. So when you see you have a desire that I want to go to church. What time is church? I don't know if many of you do that. But I believe there's some of you that do that. Because it has to be something like that where we are desiring to go to church. We can't wait for the hour of prayer to come. We are desiring to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Then it will happen. Because the prophet says God can't create a desire for you for something when that something isn't there. So if there's a heaven to go to, there's got to be a people that are going to desire to go there. If there's a rapture to come, there's going to be a people that are going to desire for that rapture to come, for them to be in that rapture. So God creates that desire, and we want to look at this desire. Now, there are other things that sometimes we feel we want something. I want a new phone, or I want this. If we have the resources, you can go and buy those things and you have fulfilled your want. But many times when we have wants, something that I want this because maybe brother so-and-so has this, and I thought it was a nice thing to have, which is nothing wrong, because they are not coveting, as long as they are not coveting. But when we have wants, the moment there's a little obstacle to fulfill that want, we find that we abandon those wants quickly. You're sitting in the house and you feel like, I want some chocolate or something, and I'll go to the shops now to buy it. The moment you want to go and it starts raining or something like that, you are quick to abandon that want, because it's just a want. It's just something you can do without. But a desire is not like that. When you have a desire, it is deep inside your soul, and you will do everything that you can to fulfill that desire. It's a strong force, yeah? And when you have a desire for something, usually it yields desperation. It makes you go into a place of desperation and perseverance where nothing can stop you from fulfilling that desire as long as it's inside to fulfill it, yeah? Like the Canaanite woman in the Bible that came to Jesus. That woman had many things against her, but she was so perseverant despite of all the things that were against her at that time. She didn't even think of the shame that was associated with going to Jesus, because it was a shame to many people in those days. You could be excommunicated from the tabernacle, from the temple, from the communion of saints in those days to be associated with Jesus. Besides all that, when she came and she saw the source, the thing that can quench, not the thing, forgive me, but the person that can quench the desire that she had, because she desired for her daughter to get well. She was vexed grievously with the devil. And you that are parents know, when your child is in such a state, it brings something from within you to say, I want my child to be well. And if a prayer night is called at church, there's nothing that will stop you, because you want to be there to pray for your child. And if it's a prayer meeting on a Friday night, you want to be there because you have a desire to get to pray for your child, to get the saints to pray for your child so that the child could get well. Nobody wants to see their child sick. So it is that this woman, the Canaanite woman, when her child was sick and she heard of Jesus, she said, I must get to him. I have to get to him. And she came, I don't know how long the distance was, but when she came and spoke to Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, the Bible says he never answered her a thing. The very person that she desired to see could not even discourage this woman. Strong was the desire in her to get it fulfilled. And only Jesus could do it. If it wasn't Jesus that she desired, when he didn't answer her, she could have turned and gone back and looked for another solution somewhere. But she knew, this is the one. There's nothing that can quench my desire except this man. Amen. So he didn't answer her a thing. And the next thing, she speaks again. The disciples say, send her away, send her away. Oh, my, what a discouragement. But desire cannot be stopped by discouragement. She kept on persisting until she was even told things that we could consider to be an insult today. It's not meet to give the children's food unto dogs. My, imagine someone calling you a dog. What would that do to you? But because the desire was so strong in the woman, that didn't stop her either. And it led her into a desperation, a place of perseverance, where she said some of the most notable words that were ever spoken by human lips. And Jesus said, woman, great is thy faith. Amen. That's what desire can do for a person. Amen. Another example is the woman with the blood issue in the book of Matthew 9. After she had spent years suffering, yet her desire for good health did not go away. She desired to be well anyhow. She spent all her resources, all the money was gone, yet it didn't stop her. And all the doctors had given up on her, it never stopped her. She said, I must get to Jesus, when she heard about Jesus. And the prophet dramatizes and shows a great crowd around Jesus. Yet this woman was not deterred. Amen. And if you know the laws that God gave to the children of Israel, that woman with the problem that she had could not be in public. Yeah? She could not be. Because of the condition that she was in, she was supposed to be secluded somewhere, but that didn't stop her either. She said, I must get to him because I want to get well. She had a desire to get well, and she moved against laws, against her own feelings, everything that she had, and she went and pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus because her desire was impelling her. It was a force behind her that was pushing her towards to get what she wanted, which was her healing. That's how strong a desire is. We could speak of the Queen of Sheba. Because this woman, when she heard of Solomon and the gift of God that was in Solomon, she didn't stop at nothing to get to that gift. Being a queen, imagine being a queen, and she had everything that she had need of, yet she said, I must go and see for myself. She had a deep desire, and the prophet says it took 3 months on the back of a camel for that woman to get to Solomon. But it didn't stop her. So what I'm trying to show here, when you have a desire, distance doesn't mean anything for you. If you have a desire for the saving of souls, it's not going to mean anything for you to drive your car to Kalo. No, because there's a desire that is pushing you from behind. You are desiring the saving of souls somewhere, and you will go. That's what the missionaries did, isn't it? They came from these lands here to the jungles of Africa because they had a deep desire to bring the word of God to the people of Africa. And today we are saved, you and me, thanks to God for the desire that he created in those ministers. Amen. And this woman was the same. 3 months through a desert on the back of a camel, and it was a hazardous journey because there were thieves in that area. They were waiting for travelers, murderers that could have killed her. But she didn't consider any of those things. She wanted to get her desire fulfilled because she knew that if I get to Solomon, he's going to tell me all that I need to hear. Because she knew the source, the quenching source of her desire was there, and she must get there. But now, we as people, we are limited many times by time. We are limited by resources. We are limited by the things that perhaps may be sickness or less strength and things like that. But God is not limited. Because God also has desires. God, the Father himself, he wanted to be a father. He had a desire to be a father. Yeah? And God, when he wanted to be a father, because he is not limited in any of the resources that we are limited in, he made children, you and me. When he wanted to have a nice place for his children to stay, he made the Garden of Eden. Because God is not limited. And he made all that and put his people, his children there, so that they could enjoy. He wanted his children to enjoy. He wanted them to have a nice place. And he was not limited by anything. And he fulfilled his desire to have his children on earth, you and me. But now, before we get to that, let's go back a little bit and speak of the place where we read of these children of Israel. Because I want you to see tonight that your desire, if God has saved you and changed your nature, he gives you desires for the things of heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah? That's your desire. If you go through the message, the prophet says, of all things I desire to be more humble. That's a heavenly desire. Yeah. Of all things, I desire to be a better servant this year than I was last year.
Amen.
That's not a natural desire. It comes from God. Yeah? But where we read in the book of Samuel, the people of Israel had a desire. They desired to have a king. All this time, from the time that they left Egypt, they never had a king over them. But they could see other nations had kings, and it was the popular way of doing. It seems to be more organized, but they never had a king. But when they got opportunity to express their desire, when Samuel was old and his sons, he put his sons, and his sons were not walking the way Samuel walked, they said, "Samuel, we want a king over us." And Samuel was surprised. So imagine you being a father and you are raising your children in the house and you see them grow. You know, sometimes you sit down and think, "Lord, I'm so thankful. My daughter is about 10 years old now. I see she's beginning to take responsibility over some of the things in the house." That's what fathers and mothers do. Yeah? But if it comes to a place now, maybe your son or your daughter is 16 years old and they come to you and say, "Dad, I want some Lego pieces." You know, that's for 10 years, 9-year-olds. The desire that that child has will make you say, "What? I thought this child was growing up." Because a desire shows what kind of a nature you are.
Amen.
I want you to catch that.
Amen.
The desire that the children of Israel had when they voiced it out to Samuel, Samuel was surprised. He said, "What? Have I ever taken anything from you people? Is there something I ever said that never came to pass?" It surprised him because their desire betrayed what kind of nature these people were. They didn't want God because Samuel went to God and said, "This is what the people have said." God said, "Hearken to the people, Samuel. Give them a king. It's not you that they have rejected. It's me." Yeah? Do you want to read that a little bit? 1 Samuel 8, verse 8. 1 Samuel 8, verse 8. Maybe we won't jump to verse 8. Let's read from verse 1. I'll be quick. "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abia, that they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, 'Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.'" Many times people speak very valid reasons to try and veil their desire that they want to show, so that at least it looks as if they are not carnal. But you can't hide your nose from people, you know. But the thing displeased Samuel. When they said, "Give us a king to judge us," and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Was there a time when these people came and said, "Samuel, we don't want God"? No. There was no time in this chapter when the people said, "Samuel, we don't want you either." But God, in revealing this matter to Samuel, he says, "They didn't reject you, they have rejected me," when they showed their desire for a king. And God says, "According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day." So everything that they had done was betraying the nature of these people. But when they got the opportunity on that day, hiding behind the sons of Samuel not walking well, and him being old, they came and said, "Give us a king." They finally voiced their desire. No wonder when we read in Samuel chapter 12, he said, "Behold the king whom you have desired." So their desire for a king, God really shows here that they were showing who they really were, rejecting God. "According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other God, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, how be it yet, protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." And Samuel did a good job of this. He came and protested solemnly to them to say, the king that you want is going to be like this. He's going to take your sons and make them soldiers. He's going to take your daughters, make them bakers in his kingdom. He's going to take tax out of the things that you are farming in your farms. And it's going to be a grievous thing upon your shoulders to serve this king. The people said, "Nay, we want a king anyhow." You see the power behind a desire. No matter how somebody can reason with you, as long as you have some desire, nobody can really talk you out of a desire, whether it's a good desire or a bad desire. That's why nothing can stop you when you have a desire to come to church. There's nothing can stop you. You might get so sick, but your desire would be, "I want to get to church tonight." I know one sister wanted to get baptized, and she was sick at the point of death. You remember, Brother George, Sister Justina.
Amen.
Very sick, and she knew she was sick. In hospital, she was a nurse herself, and she said, "I want to get baptized." Normally, when we are baptizing people, sometimes because the water gets so cold, we boil the water in there and pour a bucket of hot water in there just to raise the temperature a little bit. Yet this sister had cancer. She was a nurse. She knew she was in the dying stages of cancer. She said, "I want to get baptized. I don't want you people to give me special treatment. I'm coming to church anyhow." Strong was her desire that when she came, she said, "Do not hit the water. I want it as raw as it can so I can feel the sting of death that my Lord suffered." And we baptized Sister Justina there. She never lived much long after that. But so strong was her desire that no amount of reasoning could stop her from getting it fulfilled, because it was a heavenly desire. Even with a desire that is from the fallen nature, it's hard. You can't sit down with somebody and reason with them to say it is wrong to dress like this, it is wrong to steal, it is wrong to do this. As long as it's a desire that is emanating from their fallen nature, you can't reason it out. The only way somebody can change is when God changes their nature. Then they have a good desire. But now, so your desire shows what your nature is, whether you have been changed or you have not been changed. And now we want to look at something here, that God also has a desire. God has desire for his children to live well. He says, "The thoughts that I have towards you, to bless you, yeah, to give you an expected end, to give you the desires of your heart." That's Amen. God's desire, to give you the desires of your heart. And we remember that we sometimes are limited by resources. But God is not limited by resources. If God wants children, he speaks children. If God wants light, he speaks light. If he wants to create a Garden of Eden, God creates a Garden of Eden. But if I desire to have a house, and I have such a desire, and it's driving me, but it's not my overall desire. My overall desire is to worship God. Yet with this desire, because my resources are limited, it can take long to fulfill that desire. Where is it not so with God? God has a desire to please his children. But there is something that happened, and I'm sure you all know it, when God created you and me. There is something that God desired. God desired his children to worship him. But now, can you tell me, what kind of a worship would it be if you had no other choice but to worship him? It wouldn't be true worship, where you are forced to do it, or else. It's not worship. And because God wanted you to freely worship him, to make a choice yourself that I have this option and this option, I can choose not to worship, but I can also choose to worship, but I choose to worship God. That's true worship. From your free will. And so when God made you and me, he gave you that ability to choose. The free will where you can freely choose what you want to do. That's the epitome of creation. There's nobody can create and give an object free will to do what it wants and then bind himself with his own law to say, I won't interfere. What kind of worship would it be, Brother Jesse, if God forces you to worship? Or if he entices you with gifts to worship? If you worship me, then I'll do this for you. No. God doesn't do that. And we shouldn't do that either, to force our children to worship. It's not acceptable. We should never bribe our children to get baptized just because we want people to look at us as if we are good parents. Brother Will is a good parent. All his children are baptized. It's wrong, you know? And you make the child twice a child of hell. But they must make their own decision. Because God has no grandchildren where because your father is a trustee, so you can come in on the back of him. No, you have to make your decision too to serve God. That's the only form of worship that is acceptable when you freely choose to worship God. With your own free will that he gave you, and you say, even though I have a right not to, but I choose not to drink or to do this or that, I choose to worship God. Even though I have a right to stay home tonight, but I choose to go home, to go to church, regardless of the circumstances that I am in, I'm going anyhow because I want to worship God. That's pleasing to God. That's why he gave you free will. And he knew that many of you would make a choice to serve God. He also knew that many would make a choice not to. And he bound himself with these laws. So now we find God has a desire for his children to worship him. Amen. And that desire never changes. It's still the same today as it was the day that he had that desire. But he's not going to force you because he's bound by his own laws. Not to force you to worship God. He wants you to make your own decision to worship him. I want to just read for you this here. Sorry, maybe I jumped ahead a little bit. Before I read that, I will read for you from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, to show you something, and then we can move on. And I think you know this story. The story of David. David, we know him as a king of Israel. But there was a time when he was a rejected king. And he was hiding in a certain place with some of his mighty men and soldiers. And one day while he was with his soldiers, David voiced something, which I want to read for you from verse 13. Sorry. Verse 14, sorry. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed, which is the same word as desired. David had a longing, and he voiced his longing, and he said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. He was away in a hold, hiding somewhere from these Philistines that had put a garrison against Bethlehem. And the Philistines were good at putting garrisons. When they put a garrison around a city, nobody could come out or go in. They would all perish if it's not for the grace of God. You remember the siege of Samaria? It had to be God who broke it because they were effective. But when David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Wasn't there water sources anywhere else? There was water sources anywhere else that they were drinking while they were in that hold, hiding from the Philistines. But David longed for a particular kind of water, not just any kind of water. No matter how much water David drank, there was a certain kind of water that he wanted, and he voiced his desire, oh, that one would give me. Yeah? And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Imagine what these men did when they heard their king say, I want water from the gate of Bethlehem. They risked their own lives and break through the garrison of the Philistines to get water for David. And they brought that water and gave to David. But I like what David said. And brought it to David, nevertheless he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Because what these men did, these three mighty men, when they had the desire of their king, and they moved through an army, putting their own lives at peril that they could have been killed, to fulfill the desire of their king, that was a form of worship. That was really a form of worship. And they went and took the water, brought it to David, and he said, I won't take worship from man. It's for God, worship. And he poured that water on the ground and said, I won't drink it, and he offered it unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And it's there for a reason, if you could put my slides there. It's there for a reason that it was recorded that David voiced his desire, and the people had that desire, and they wanted to fulfill the desire that David had. And the prophet says, look at these men. They pulled their swords. What was it? His desire was a drink of cold water. David, what a type of today. Our David Christ. We know he's called the Holy Lord, Jesus. He's cast off to one side, a fanatic in everything, rejected by the churches. They've got their creeds and things drawn up in this Christmas like they did at the first one. We know that. But we know that this word ever remains true. And it's got to be fulfilled. The desire of Christ is for men, warriors, to stand. Amen. Isn't that true tonight? It's still the same desire that God had in those days. It's the same. And these men fulfilled the desire of their king. And it's a type for you and me tonight. That when we know the will of God, if we know the desire that God has, then we must be willing to risk everything, like these men did, to go through a garrison and get the water for our king. Yeah? Oh, come stand with me by my side. I'm standing in a terrible place. I challenge today, these steps go over the world. I challenge some men. I challenge some warriors who love Jesus Christ, that knows that these things has got to be fulfilled today. Brethren, come stand by my side and pull the word of God. Because that's what those people did. They went and pulled water that David wanted, and we've got to do these things. He said, forget those dried systems, stagnated denominations you are living in. Pull the fresh word of God. Let's give Jesus a good drink of fresh Pentecostal water. Wouldn't you want to do that for your king today? Because that's the desire that God has. That's his desire today. Going back to original Pentecost. You know the night of Pentecost, yeah? When the Holy Spirit fell. The things that happened in the upper room. That's his desire today. It's still the same, that desire. And you and me, we have an opportunity to be like these three mighty men. Now we want to see, this is a different court, and place this before our audience, that God still is the same that he ever was. The people get away from God, but God remains the same. His nature, his power, and his desire always the same through every generation. It never changes, it's always the same. So if God desired water, because David was a type of Christ, the prophet teaches. Yeah, and if he desired water from that well of Bethlehem, he still desires it tonight. And you and me, we have an opportunity today, while it's still today, to go through the garrisons of the Philistines and draw water for our king. These warriors, these three warriors, imagine they were not in their homeland in Bethlehem. They were hiding away somewhere in a hold, the Bible says. Yet distance was not a matter to them. They drove all the way from Calo to come here so that they could draw water for the king. Didn't they do that tonight? They came all the way from Balbriggan there to come, and from Navan to come and draw water for the king. Now you have come, you have arrived here at the gate of Bethlehem. Why don't you draw the water then? Draw it and bring it to the king, because his desire is still the same, that he may drink from the well at the gate of Bethlehem. Distance didn't matter to these people. Even the army of the Philistines that was against them, that had garrisoned around that city, they didn't consider that. They said, I am going anyhow. Anyhow, today I'm going to the presence of the Lord, because I want to bring a fresh water for my king. Don't you want to bring worship to God today? No matter what you could be feeling, how tired, how long the week was, those things, as long as you have a desire in your heart to please your Lord, because his desire, he has made it known to you, why don't you get him a good bucket of fresh water? So what are your desires today? What are the things that you desire? When you wake up in the morning before you get out of bed, what are the things that you think of? What drives you? Because a desire drives a person. Some people are driven by an ambition to be rich. They have a desire for money that cannot be satisfied, and it drives them every day. But the desire that you must have is for the things of heaven. As long as your desire is still of the things of the world, you better run to the cross. Hallelujah. You better run to the cross, because it shows what kind of a nature you are. But if your desire today, if you desire even to do good, to say, Lord, what can I do? You might not be able to do it because the devil deceives you here and there. But if you have a desire in your heart to bless the children of God, to come to church, you might not be able to come that day, but if your desire is like that, it didn't come from you. Hallelujah. God has put that desire in you. Isn't that a good thing to know? That God is so interested in you that he even forms your desires. That should give you some rapturing faith. To know that God is also putting desires in my heart, me who doesn't deserve. That should really do something for you, saints. Yeah? But the heart is a very deceitful thing above all things. The Bible says it's desperately wicked. It can deceive you like it deceived these Israelites when they say, you are not, your children don't walk the same way. They had a very good argument. They are not walking the way you are walking, and you are old. It makes sense that you give us a king. But when Samuel was displeased with it, they must have been shocked to say, but this was a reasonable request. The heart is deceitful above all things. And if you want to know whether things are well with you in your heart, this is one thing to watch. Watch your desires. They will tell you where the tree is leaning. Mother used to tell me, she said, birds of a feather flock together. Well, that's a whole lot of truth to that. You never see the crows and doves feeding together. It's not possible, because their appetites are not the same. Their diets cannot be the same. Their talk isn't the same,
Amen.
So is the man that's out of fellowship with God.
Hallelujah.
If you are out of fellowship with God, this is the prescription.
Yes.
Yeah? You might come to church. You might do the things that many other people do. God bless you, brother. Put on a message sometimes. But this is the test. The man that's out of fellowship with God has no desire to go to church. You might come, but you have no desire. A desire that you say, today is church day. I remember when I wasn't working, and it's a Wednesday. From the moment I wake up, I start preparing to go to church. I do everything in a way that when the bell rings there and the time to open the door is come, I'm there. You know, because there was a desire, but still people come to church. But there's no desire. And you know what desire I'm talking about, you
Amen.
People. You know, every one of you, what a desire is. And if your desire is, I want to get to church, regardless of who is preaching, when the pastor takes some time off, you know, people can find out who's preaching today. He has to go nearly secretly sometimes, you know. Because if they know it's Brother Eli or Brother Will, you know, well. But if you have a desire to come to church, it doesn't matter who's standing behind the pulpit. It doesn't matter who's leading the songs. It doesn't matter if we even just put a tape or read scriptures and go. Your desire is to bring a bucket of fresh water to the King. And nothing will stop you. So some people... that's out of fellowship with God. How do you know? No desire to go to church or do right. Just to say, I want to do right. I want to bless somebody today. I just want to walk according to your will today, God. You know? And you have no such desires. You should be very alarmed. Because we are living very close to the going now.
Amen.
No desire to go to church or do right. And those who are with God long for that fellowship. You just can't stand it. You just can't stand it when it's not church time. You can't stand it when it's you have spent a day, you haven't even spoken to any believer. You don't feel right. You want to have some fellowship. That's the desire to serve God. And his mother told him. And to think, what if your heart was far away enough from God till you don't even have a desire to do what was right, then you are in a bad shape.
Amen.
Then you are in a bad shape when you don't even have a desire to do what is right. You can grieve his spirit too many times till it will go away. You never have no more desire, no more. And I pray nobody has come to this stage.
Amen.
God keeps talking to you saying, and you say, well, I really ought to. I should. The next revival, I'll straighten up. The next all-night prayer meeting, I'll be there. I really want. Yeah? Before I die, I'll make it right. I intend to really be filled with the Holy Spirit before I die. I want to be living a sweet, consecrated life, hid away with God. And when he knocks at my heart's door, I want to be just ready to open my arms and say, yes, Lord Jesus. Well, why don't you do it now?
Amen.
Is the question. Why don't you? Because if you even have a desire to do these things, happy are you.
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness?
Yes.
Just to hunger and thirst. Before you even have it, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus says, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst.
Amen.
So when you even have a desire to do some of these things, well, why don't you do it right now? The prophet says. Listen, when man spurns mercy, there's only one thing left, and that's judgment. So when God is putting that desire in your heart today, don't turn it away. Because you are spurning your mercy. God is loving, not willing that any should perish. But if you do any perishing, you do it yourself.
Hallelujah.
You do it by free moral agency. You do it by desire. Don't let your desire bring you to a place where you perish. But let your desires be formed from heaven. Let your desire today be to worship God. Let your desire be to bring a fresh bucket of water for the king. And there's no need for you to wait until tomorrow. You can do it even tonight while we are here. May God bless you. May we have the musicians, and then we'll enter into a time of prayer. While the musicians are coming, I just want to read for you one more quote here. The prophet says, I love him tonight with all my heart. And I believe if he would cast me away, he is still just. That's how much you must love God. And if I would have to go to hell, and if there will be such a thing as love in hell, I will still love him. For what he has been to me, even now, besides what I know that he will be to me. So even when you know that at the end of this world, of your life, you are going to be sent to hell, your desire should still be to worship God. That's true worship. And if I believe his gospel, if tonight 100 people would raise up, or 1,000 that died when Billy Sunday preached in his tabernacle and his converts, they would come back from eternity and say, Brother Branham, you are dying now. Don't trust in Jesus, because it's not so. Because they were dead, now they are back. And 1,000 people are telling him, it's not so. Don't trust in him. He says, and if I was dying, I would still trust Jesus Christ. He said, if I pray for the sick tonight, and 1,000 people, all of them sick, I prayed for them, and they all died in the morning tomorrow, yet tomorrow night I'll just stand as I am now and pray for the sick, believing divine healing. That's true worship, where you are not forced. It's a worship that is coming from a desire in your heart to worship God, regardless of whether at the end of this life he condemns you or not. When you come to that place, now that is worship. And God requires us, our worship, to be perfect like that. Let us sing a song. Amen. Amen.
I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Just who I am, tell them I am redeemed, and I'm bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Oh yes, today. Mercy, 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 rewrote, he rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I could have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy.
Speak to him, saints. The prophet says, you are not a Christian by your desire, but you are a Christian by God's desire. He made you a Christian because of his desire for you to worship him. And tonight we have that opportunity just to come before the Lord and give him a fresh Pentecostal bucket of fresh water like they did in that night there. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come once more before you, Lord, to thank you for your grace, Lord.
Over their families, lead them and guide them, even them that have trouble, Lord.
don't know if there's any prayer requests. But if you don't have much to pray for, remember the saints that are in Israel. They are coming home this weekend. And we have Easter meetings coming up in a few weeks' time. And the program will be announced, but we have ministers that are coming to minister to the saints. If you pray for those meetings, that the Lord would come and minister to us and show us things, because the hour we are living in is very close now. We are very close when you begin to see things happening where the devil is mocking the coming of the Lord and things like that. The Bible said it would happen, and that hour is upon us. So let's pray for these Easter meetings, that the Lord would raise us one standard higher than where we are standing now. Even in August, we have a camp, family camp, and we are visiting ministers coming as well. Details will be published next week about all that. Let's pray for those meetings as well. We have a youth meeting coming up in Ovoka as well in May. Let's pray that those meetings, something will happen. Because our desire, my desire is, when I get to heaven, I would like to see every face that I met with here on earth. It would be a very sad thing that we miss some of the faces, you know. But if we all meet there, wouldn't that be nice, brother, to spend 1,000 years with you, Brother Nat, you know? So let's pray for the saving of the souls of our young people, because we are not leaving any of them behind here. I don't know if there's any other prayer request that you would like to be made known, and we can pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Frank. Yeah.
And his wife is, I don't know, from
Malaysia or something. Yeah.
Malaysia or something. And they went just recently to get married. They have 2 children already. And after they got married, she went to doctors and she was diagnosed with tumor cancer. They did operation. They returned back here. They are here already. They're living in Sword. And we desire with Brother Vlad to visit them. And
amen.
As far as we know, they are not, they don't believe in God, but we trust that the Lord can open their hearts.
As long as there's a desire in your heart, sister, to come to them.
Amen.
The Lord is working on one
Amen.
Side. We believe he works on both sides. So
Amen.
Let's put that request before the Lord as well. Let us pray. Perhaps we would ask Brother Nat if you could come and just commit these things to the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Pray. Oh Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and glory today,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for your blessings and your protection upon our lives, Lord.
Amen.
For the desire that we have today to come to church, Lord, to hear your voice, Lord. It is not our doing, but Father, it is you that put us into this house, Lord.
Amen.
Father, may this desire fill our hearts. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for the saints, for our pastor, Brother Max, in Israel, that your blessing will be upon them, Lord.
Yes.
As they prepare to travel back, Lord, Father, grant them safe journey home, Lord,
Amen.
That they may meet us, Father, in good health, and bring them back in good health as well.
Amen.
Father, we pray for their family, their wives and children.
Mm-hmm.
Be with them, Lord. Guard and protect them, Father.
Yes.
We pray also for the Easter meeting, Father, that is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, we ask that your blessing will be upon that meeting, Lord.
Yes.
Father, move in that meeting, Lord. May our desires, Father, for that meeting, may we be, Father, met there, Father, with all
yes.
that you desire for us to have, Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we also pray for the family camp as well that is coming.
Amen.
All the youths, Lord. Heavenly Father, meet them, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are yet to know you, Father, may your spirit come.
Amen.
May you reveal yourself to our children,
yes,
Lord. All these I ask in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, Father, the desire of the sister for the family friend, Lord. Father, you are a miraculous God.
Amen.
Father, whatever ailment that is in
Amen.
That sister, since our sister here, Father, has the desire.
Mm.
She didn't know that this was the word that you have for her today, but you have put it in our heart, Lord,
yes.
that we should pray for her.
Mm.
Oh Lord, we believe that it is done because you said so.
Yes.
All this I ask in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we prepare to leave, grant us safe journey back. We pray for the saints that are not here.
Yes.
Father, we know that most of us, they desire to be here, but with our worldly commitments, Lord, they couldn't make it. Meet them at home, Lord,
yes,
and grant them their heart's desire as well, if it is pleasing to you.
Amen.
All this I ask in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. We just sing a song in worship and as we dismiss.
We will lead me. I will go. Yeah.
circumstance, no matter what the situation, we will lift up holy hands. Elola, Elola, Elola.
Expect
great storm may drive me from the heights, brings me low but never brings me down. Oh, I know that I know that I know I know the master of the way. I know my blessed Redeemer. I know the maker of the rain. Oh yes, he can calm the storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the master of the wind. I know blessed Jesus, I know the maker of the rain. Oh yes, he can calm a storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the rain. Oh, I love him. On Calvary.